Brighton Festival 2017. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
Visual artist Kathy Pilkington has created a striking mixed media exhibition which explores images of women, memories of childhood and the uncanniness of dolls. The Life Rooms is at the University of Brighton Gallery at Grand Parade, and I went there earlier to meet Kathy to see it for myself.
My name's Kathy Pilkington. The show that I've put on in Brighton Festival is called The Life Rooms, and it's two fairly large installations in the University Gallery space. There are two very distinct rooms and they've got a very different kind of character.
I have to say, just walking around here, it's dark. It's a very dark exhibition. There are dolls, there are mutant animals, there are nightmarish scenes. What is it that you're trying to convey with this exhibition?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people say that to me. I think it's also very beautiful and formally very carefully considered. So although there are these dark narrative aspects to the work, it's not the whole story. I also don't think there's anything that's beautiful that doesn't have a dark side either. So I'm talking about life, really. I'm talking about what it's like to be alive, what it's like to be in a body, what it's like to think about life, what it's like to have children, what it's like to live and know that you're going to die, all the kind of basic human questions that we have.
Much of the exhibition is based around dolls. There is something uncanny about a doll, isn't there? On the one hand, you've got the kind of the childlike simplicity of a doll and the pleasure of a doll that a child might have. On the other side, you've got that uncanniness of the human, not human. It looks like that's something you're really playing with in this exhibition.
I've always been really interested in inanimate objects that pretend to be alive. And that might be your grandma's ornament, a doll, or a piece of classical Greek sculpture. I've always been really, really interested in Freud's essay on the uncanny. And in the 80s, I saw Mike Kelly's Uncanny Show the first time he staged it, and was massively relieved that someone had taken on, I think at the time, that kind of figuration wasn't really being used in art. And it was very, very out of fashion. And I felt very kind of out of step with what was going on. And Mike Kelly's exhibition was a real kind of like a life buoy to me, because it talked about figuration in the whole of culture, not just in fine art, in the way that we have always had the impulse to make figures, whether they be fertility symbols or toys or icons, you know, religious objects. So it gave me permission really to carry on with the things that had always interested me.
Can we pop round the corner, because there is a most striking part of the installation around here, and you do have to kind of weave your way around these things, and you see things which actually catch you quite by surprise. So we've got a baby here tied to a post being savaged by a rabbit.
that's the wonderful story of the tar baby. That's from Brer Rabbit. So in this this structure is called Harmonium, and it contains a lot of initially separate narrative scenes that I'd shown on their own in their own right. And this is like a compilation, almost like an album or a book of collected poems, where they're all contained together in one structure, and the structure is made in a kind of roughshod kind of garage furniture manner. It's made out of pegboard and ribbon curtains and things that I associate with growing up in the 70s.
So around this corner here is a doll, life size, of a child looking very intently into a mirror on an antique dressing table. What's actually happening?
This piece is called Curio. And the sculpture of the figure, like you say, it's life-size. She's a little bit like those charity boxes that we used to
around.
I've always been really interested in those things. And she's like some of the ornaments that she surrounds herself with. So I was looking at a lot of those historical pictures of children where they're dressed as mini adults and they're contained and constricted and presented as these objects, and I'm really interested in that's one of the things I love about dolls, because you can talk about the object and the subject at the same time. And here she's very directly sitting beside the objects that perhaps she's collected and looking at herself in the mirror. So you've got a whole disorientating scene that you enter into. You're really pulled into it and you're really engaged by it, and at the same time you're kind of repelled by it as well. And that's the thing I'm really trying to do in all my work.
I'm really getting a sense of the Gothic from you here. But there's something interesting as well in that she actually looks at you when you position yourself in the right place. She's not looking at herself, she's looking at you.
I'm not quite sure where she's looking, actually. I think she's kind of refusing to fix her gaze. She's sort of looking at a space in between everything. So I think it's hard for her to look at you, and it's hard for her to look at herself as well. She's sort of in between.
Can we move through to the second room?
Sure.
I'm getting a sense in this second room of a homage to other artists here. So we've got some doll figurines, which are like Degas' ballet dancer.
Yeah.
There's a Magritte tribute around
That's
the corner.
Right, yeah.
I see a bit of Salvador Dali in there as well. Different kind of style that you've approached in this room.
This work is much more recent. The work I made next door is made probably about 5 years ago now. And this is the work that I'm actually engaged with now. You're right, the starting point of these dolls, they're called Degas Dolls 1 to 5, and they're taken from the poses anyway, are taken from Degas waxes that he made privately in his studio. They weren't ever made to be shown in an art gallery, and they were cast posthumously, and they were cast in bronze, and they were cast with their armatures still attached to them. So there was something really exciting, always something really exciting to me, because there's an element of the process that's still visible. They're not finished and presented on a plinth. You can get close to the artist and close to the making process. So, but these move aesthetically, they're a million miles away from the Degas dancers. They're not about gesture, they're not about messy clay like the work in the other room. They're much smoother, they're about the surfaces of dolls and dummies. And so we're moving into a slightly different territory that's it's less gestural.
So these five dolls are arranged on plinths, and there's a seating area around it and mirrors over there. They are naked, and they're also kind of mutated at the same time. Mm. Are you making a point here about us as the observers of the female form here, or not?
Well, certainly all that content is in the work. But, I would question, are they naked? Because if we look at these, we don't know if they're naked or if they're clothed or stitched.
Okay,
because
yes,
they're
right,
made
yes.
of a variety of different materials, and some of them look like dolls' legs, which are very dumb, unkind of modelled things that just suggest a limb. Other parts of the body are very, very particular. Often the faces are blank as well, so they're kind of dumb and receptive to our projection. So I'm trying to make something that's really, really interesting and engaging, but at the same time slightly unsettling, because I think the body is unsettling. It's an unsettling thing. We live in our bodies. We are quite estranged by our bodies. The formal setup of this room is a replica of the RA, the Royal Academy Life Room, where this installation has been shown. So it was shown there 2 weeks ago. So it's come directly from there to here, which is very exciting, to have it in a very different kind of space, to have a shop window almost. Of course, there are lots and lots of interesting questions about voyeurism and observation and the female model as well. Yeah. So these benches are a replica of the RA Life Room benches, and they've been made by the students in interior architecture here fantastically.
What are you hoping an audience will take away from this?
I hope the audience will really engage with the work, think about how the work is made, not just the image of what that work is, that they'll think about the processes involved, that they'll come and draw from the work and think about that. And also, I think some of these ideas that people are bringing, that this work is strange or unsettling, that they might spend a bit longer with it and actually see that there is a logic and a beauty and a kind of formal constraint in the work as well. It's not just about this sort of unbridled emotion.
That was Kathy Pilkington. She was talking about the Life Rooms. It's at the University of Brighton Gallery at Grand Parade. It's free entry and it runs daily through to the 27th of May. And I have to say, I absolutely loved it. And I do tend towards the darker side of things. So I'm going to go back there and have a proper look at it, because it's really quite stunning. And it's one of those things that the more you look at it, the more different things you see. And there's so much in there. Absolutely fascinating exhibition there. So that's the Life Rooms, a University of Brighton Gallery at Grand Parade.
Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb. The only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival Hour.